The cluster folks who are going to be speaking in the next session, could you come on up here and have a seat on the at the table here so we can do a quick transition? Screen from going to sleep when you're, when
really?
You're speaking. Just a little coffee cup in your menu bar, and you click on it, it fills up with coffee, and then your Mac doesn't go to sleep.
Really?
And it defaults to 30 minutes, but you can configure.
Oddly enough, that's exactly the thing I need.
Yeah.
That's too perfect.
Caffeine.
You know, but have you seen this? There's a new sort of web editing tool that's come out. It's a low-level thing. It's a good text editor with lots of context management and all that. It's sort of like the Emacs for the 21st century attempt. It's called Espresso.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, because my screen will definitely go to sleep without any. Okay. Here we are. Oh man, this is like. What resolution are you?
Oh, so it's really TIE-bot.
Well. Yeah, sure. Okay, so we're starting, apparently. I guess this is what Aaron said. Talk for 5 minutes. Say what you did. I'm from Tide. Aaron explains that it's actually tired, spelled wrong, but I'm good with that. Tide is weird. It's a cluster of one. I don't have all of these aggregate minions running around, so our work is a little different than some of the others. What I'm going to do is say very quickly some of the things that we've did and are expecting to continue doing. No, I'm not. I have to push the little button that says show slides. That's how that works. The first thing we did, we are very focused in our cluster about thinking about how federation ought to work and some issues about security policy management in federated systems, access control, stuff like that. The first thing that we did is we developed the Tide Federation architecture, which is an extension of the Deter Federation architecture. Deter is a security-oriented testbed derived from Emulab on which this work is all based. The key characteristics of this are that we tend to view aggregates or testbeds or resources as things that we want to create federations of to construct larger slices. We have an interesting intermediate point, the thing that says settle on this slide. I'll say two more sentences about it in the next slide. It's a standard format experiment representation language, the idea that much like any kind of assembly language, you can then create millions of tools to use it. You could think of it as sort of high-level RSpecs. You could think of it as an alternative to RSpecs, because by the time you want to describe a whole experiment, an RSpec might not be quite the right thing. This is working this whole set of details out as one of our areas of focus. I did the cheesy thing. I'm sorry. I put a poster graphic on the slide. So this is our second major area of work, rich verifiable access control authorization for widely varying needs in communities. This is getting to the notion that Genie, when it grows up, will probably be a federation of many, many resource providers and many, many users. They will have very different views about policy. They will have different views about identity management. And our interest is creating a framework in which that can all play out. I will say very little about the semantics, except that it's based on two concepts. One is attested attributes. I say that Aaron is a good guy. That is an attestation of an attribute. And now notice it's not just Aaron is a good guy. That'd be a little broad. It's just me saying it, right? Chip has it. No, sorry. And then the second point, and then the second half of that is a formal rule structure where we can say, well, if you have this attribute and I delegated this attribute to you, so your class is permitted to use Genie because you are a member of a university that has an ACM accredited security program. I can say stuff like that. And then there's a formal system. You can audit things. You can understand how reasoning happened. You can review it. And so it's a very nice structure for managing these relationships. Third major area of our work, we have a physical infrastructure. You can't read it. It starts in Los Angeles. It goes over fiber provided by the Los Angeles Department of Public Works, which is very modern of them, I have to say, through several regional nets across the Internet to not the Genie slice, or not the Genie thing at the moment, but the Internet to Dynamic Circuit Network, which is there. It would be a service if they had any customers, but they don't, so it's free for the moment. And into the Max Dragon Network and then into Washington. And we are expecting in the next year to extend it up into Berkeley, where we have another cluster. The last thing that is an area of our work is experiment tools. We're only really doing a little bit of this under the TIDE aegis. We're doing more under the DETER aegis. But we're interested in high-level experiment tools that do things like give you smart templates. I hate to say the word wizards. Methodology engines, things that advise you about your experiment. Well, that experiment is really not a good way to test congestion control. You shouldn't have mailed the one long bottleneck wire. A bunch of other work on sort of, again, higher level semantics of experiments, understanding how to manage risk in experiments. This is a security testbed. A pretty picture of an experiment. And all of it goes together into this, which is what the TIDE cluster is doing. Next year, our emphasis is likely to be refleshing out the security work, which I should mention is being done with Steve Schwab and his colleagues at what is now Cobham, used to be Sparta, and fleshing out the Federation architecture. So thanks. Somebody else is next. Yeah.
Okay, cluster B. Probably the most important takeaway from anything I'll say is the very first bullet, which is we now have a WSDL file that concretely and rigorously defines the interfaces that we're supporting. It includes a light version, which is minus the credentials, and it's only a subset of the operations, which seem to be sufficient for some of our aggregate partners. Our plan is to, from here on, religiously adhere to this interface and, in fact, start generating code based upon the WSDL file. So one way to participate is forget that we have written any code whatsoever, pick up the WSDL file, and if you adhere to the interface, you can participate. The second thing you can do is pick up the interface plus a little bit of code, the Genie wrapper code that we distribute, and what you'll get with that is the little bit of machinery that checks the credentials and understands GIDs and certificates and so on. And then you just wedge in your own back end. The current back end would be the one that would call into the Planet Lab code. That's the third way to participate, which is you pick up SFA, the interface, Genie wrapper, the layer of code, and all of my PLC, which gives you the operations and maintenance back in machinery of Planet Lab if you didn't have any other way of managing your aggregate. We have been moving in a process of pulling together a demo that spanned several aggregates, which I'll show you a picture of in a second. We have recently coalesced on a particular representation for RSpecs. The RSpec gives a schema that says this is the capacity of my aggregate, and it shows you an example of what a request might look like. That's helpful because it gives you a starting point for editing to generate the request that you actually send back. And it gives you a little bit of code that will check to see whether the request you are making is consistent with the policy that the aggregate will apply to your request once you make the official request. This is to support a more rapid iteration and discovery of what kind of question I might want to ask for. The policies that we've written today are pretty simple. They tend to be subset policies. You can ask for the capacity or less, but not very many other alternatives. We now have two examples to draw from. One is from Planet Lab, which is a node-only aggregate. The other is from Max, which dynamically sets up circuits, and Vinny, which has a static set of circuits from which you can build a topology. So it's an RSpec that says, here are some nodes and here are some links that you can connect the nodes with. There are two representations of this RSpec. One is the over-the-wire representation, which is XML, which you would never want to look at. The other is we sugarify it, which is to pretty print this. That turns out to be good enough so that, one, when we sit down to write an RSpec, we can write it in Sugar. When we show it to a user, we show it to them in Sugar, and they edit it. It's all pretty intuitive and seems to have gotten us over the this is a big ugly thing, how do I deal with it hurdle for the time being. The demo that we did here brought in five aggregates in red. Three of them from Planet Lab partners in Europe, Japan, and the U.S. and everywhere else, Planet Lab. The other two being ones that we had to set up topologies, one being Max and the other Vinny. SM is the slice manager. It's an aggregate of aggregates. It exports exactly the same interface as the aggregates do, but it hides the fact that there are aggregates underneath it. SFI is a client program that runs on the user's or the researcher's desktop. It accumulates all the credentials and hides that stuff from the user. But then the user will say, I want to set up my slice on this topology, and a bunch of Planet Lab nodes, and it manages that process for the user. Where we hope to be by GEC6 is quite a bit more elaborate, but I think we're well on our way. We will be adding a network of SPP nodes that John Turner's working on. We'll be adding in Japini. Japini operates under all of this machinery today. We just had not yet connected it into to the larger Federation picture. So it's very, very close. We may, by that time, have some more PLC partners. I'm not sure. I'm not going to count on it. But we're going to introduce another aggregate of aggregates that will be the eGeni SM, if you want to think of it that way, or aggregate of aggregates, that will be the front end to all of the OpenFlow deployments. And I use Stanford and Princeton as examples here. Stanford will certainly be one of them. I'm not sure what all campuses will be involved. But the point is that you will go from the front end, you'll go to the eGeni aggregate of aggregates, which will in turn establish the flows that you want to manage as part of your slice across whatever set of campuses are by that time running OpenFlow. Gush and Raven are the two user-level services that are in the cluster, and there's a bunch of integration work that needs to happen there. There's a lot of pairwise stuff happening right now, but there's more to do there. So the major two do things. One is attract users. We've got a whole lot of users just sitting there waiting. If we can give them a not terrible interface, I think they will start using this. There are some things we need to do to the control framework. These are not obvious, but this new RSpec model needs to be more universally applied, and there's some things that we need to fix, and our interface needs to be rounded out. From a Federation point of view, we think we have a peering plan, which looks roughly like this, and that's the one we're going to go with in the short term. But we need to start defining some policies, and the policies in the first run will say, of all 4,300 Planet Lab users, I'm only willing to let this subset have access to my aggregate because I don't want to over-subscribe it. In slices, we already heard about that. You've heard the max approach, and you heard the loyal opposition. So we're going to combine those in some sense. When possible, certainly we will concatenate layer two VLANs, but the default fallback is IP stitching. And integrate is what's going on with the tools across the entire set. They should work pretty well in harmony once we're done. So I believe that's all I got.
Okay, so Cluster C used our time on Monday to kind of give our demos to each other so that since we didn't, since many of us were giving demos, didn't have an opportunity to go around and see others, that's how we spent our time on Monday. So, and you guys all had a chance to see those, so I'm going to talk about our discussions yesterday. So the things we talked about were we had introduction and status updates from a couple of projects, ETRI in Korea, who has a programmable it's sort of a programmable router platform that's being deployed across South Korea, and University of Kentucky gave us a status update. And then these next three things I'll talk about a little bit more detail on the next slides, and the slides from this. Except for Justin's, if he is here. Anyway, most of the slides are on the agenda page, and I will make sure that they are all up there later. So we talked about what we as a control framework are planning to do for Spiral 2. Those generally fell into the categories of improving our integration with other projects, one of which, so the two main things here are producing a reference component manager to make it easier for someone who has some kind of aggregate that they want to bring to the table to basically have all of the front end code written for them and an example of what the back end code looks like. So not that different from what they're doing at the WSDL, except that we're providing code instead of code to generate code. And then our spec, we're using it right now to make VLANs and tunnels, and we're going to add a few things like some extensions for our partners to use and this kind of stuff. We have shared sliced PC support that is native in our control framework now, and we're going to be extending it to work sort of better in wide area across the internet environments. I demoed a slice embedding service that works right now on a single aggregate manager, and we'll have that within the next few months for multiple aggregates. And so the other important thing here is that like Larry, we have a bunch of users who are just who have like accounts in this and don't even know it, and we've been kind of waiting to have better user interfaces to give them a more rich experience. And so this is going to be one of our priorities so that we can start pushing people and say, hey, go use this thing. So we also talked about the Million Node Genie project, joined our cluster. And their model is in many ways different from the one that we have been operating under, and in many ways different from what is in the SFA. And so we're basically using this as a chance to sort of expand our model rather than throw up our hands and say, oh, this doesn't fit, right? So in their case, we've been assuming that it kind of makes sense to enumerate resources and to ask for specific ones. Well, if you end up with a million nodes, you're not going to enumerate all these, right? We've been operating in sort of a world where, the discussion of, whether a node or a link is booted or running or whatever is, that's an idea that makes sense, and it makes less sense in the Million Node Genie project. So to try to resolve these discrepancies, we agree, sort of the general strategy that we think we've come up with is that we're going to extend our RSpec to sort of be able to make slightly more abstract statements about resources. Instead of, you know, enumerating all the million nodes you have, you might say, I have a node like this times 1 million, right? Or I would like to request a node like this times 10,000. I think what we're going to end up doing with our Component Manager API is kind of dividing it into levels of support, where we say, you know, here is a very basic minimal level that every component manager will support, and that will be a subset even of what's in the SFA, with even simpler semantics than what's already in there. And then increasing levels of component manager support that add, you know, more API calls and more crisp semantics. And then the last thing we discussed was Internet 2 is in our cluster, and they are providing this, speaking of getting layer 2 connectivity being a difficult problem, right? They are providing this dedicated 10 gigabit optical network on top of which we're running switches. And that is getting very close to the first three nodes being deployed. The first three nodes are going to be Salt Lake, Kansas City, and Washington, and then we're going to be adding three more nodes probably on the order of months after that. And the main thing that, we gave some details of what is in each of these POPs and this kind of stuff, and those are in the slides that are on the web. But the main thing that I, you know, want here is to basically get as many projects as we can connected into this. So we have been talking with a couple of projects from our own cluster C, the Emulab and the Whale up in Wisconsin, that are going to be able to get some kind of layer 2 connectivity into this. In the Utah case, almost certainly dedicated. In the Whale case, maybe dedicated. And then we've also been working with a number of the projects in Cluster B to provide them with the ability to basically stitch VLANs between them, right? So Cluster B has the Chipini project in Kansas, but and the Max project over there, you know, on the East Coast, both of which are places that we are going to be, and so we're working with both of those guys to get basically them connected to us so that we can stitch VLANs across the back plane between them, and the SPP Washington University nodes are going to be in there as well. So I have in the slides that are on the web, there is a sort of checklist of who you need to talk to on your campus and regional and whatever to try to figure out how to get something to connect into this. And because we will be picking the next three sites to go into within an order of months, if I would encourage you, if you think you can get some connectivity into this, to try to pursue that soon and let me know, because that might guide our selection of which sites we pick. Yeah, James.
I just want to clarify, we certainly agree with that in principle and have begun the discussions about how to physically interconnect, but we do not have the hardware resources at this point to do it.
Right. Yeah. And yeah. So and that's, yeah, it's another thing that takes a while to arrange. So yes. All right. So that's it for me.
Okay, good morning. So I'm going to talk about ClusterD briefly. My name is Mike Sink. I'm from UMass Amherst, working on the WISE project and therefore automatically being in the ClusterD. Quick overview, I think you've seen that before. It's just all the projects in ClusterD. Hopefully you had a chance to look at the demos on Monday night, and also, you know, the ones of you who went to our work group meetings or cluster meetings have hopefully heard about our projects. I'm not going to, with respect to time, go through all these projects. One thing I want to mention is that the embedded real-time measurement project joined us recently. So we have a pretty strong collaboration between the projects already, and bringing them now into the team up to speed. And so that they are a little bit They're the newcomers in here. So you know, when I talk, I'll talk mostly about the existing projects that are working together for a year now. So, and this is when I say this, overall, we are on track on Spire 1. This is an agreement with the GPO. We've been sitting together a couple of weeks ago and went through where we are right now. So you know, we're making good progress here. Especially with Orca, our control framework, the release of the Orca code is completed. It's been used by all the projects. And we are on track. It's going to happen in the next couple of weeks to set up the clearing house at RANSI for all the projects. So what has each substrate done so far? Oops, sorry, that was probably here. Second, I managed. Oh, it's back. Okay. So we have set up local containers of Orca actors. I can flip my slides here again. Including brokers, that's completed. This resource description is formulated. The researcher portals are all integrated with the Orca actors. The brokers, as I mentioned before, have been moved to RANSI. And Kansai, actually, and I think that's worth mentioning, has also a broker, its own broker at Wayne State. Layer 2 connections to the Internet 2 backbone. There have been some issues. I think they've pretty much all been resolved, but there has been delayed things slightly. I think we are pretty much on track for the 110 date here. And Ben has already a connection to NLR in addition to Internet 2. And the goal is also to allow other Gini researchers by the beginning of October. Let me see. This is interesting. This seems to have frozen on the projector. It's moving fine on my laptop, but it's not moving forward on the projector. So. Let me just pull that off. Sorry for the technical difficulties here. So how are we thinking of going forward? The aim for the Gini 2 Spiral is definitely most important life experiments. And so if all of you are not already busy with working in your own clusters, if you want to do some really cool experiments with all our test beds, please knock on our doors, come by, and we'll be more than happy to help you with that. So that under this aspect, we kind of focused on what are we going to do in Spiral 2, and we have rated items critical, important, and not important. Here's a kind of a laundry list of all that, definitely the code and maintaining the code, making the code, the Orca code, accessible for people. The clearinghouse, that's really critical. Resource description mechanisms, what resources are available for experiments and also discovery mechanisms. The VLAN connection, and then finally also the stitching for hopefully by mid of Spiral 2. Experiment control tools to make it easier for researchers to execute experiments in our cluster. And an interface to the service manager. And then also instrumentation to make improvements on the instrumentation. And that's basically it. Any questions? Thank you.
So on the lucky last, everybody deserted me up here. So this is reporting on Cluster E. Cluster E is a relatively small group of projects in Gini with a primary focus on wireless and mobility-related testbeds. The software controlling all that is called OMF. It supports heterogeneous wireless deployments and, as I said, mobility. It has integrated experimental workflow and measurements. It integrates various open radio technologies, including Wi-Fi, WiMAX, which we've concentrated on in the last couple of months, and GNU radios. And sort of the one of the primary delivery in Spiral 1 was to support the orchestration of experiments in a mobility environment, and where some of the resources in the experiment will actually be disconnected from the control plane during the experiment, and we still want to control the experiment, and also want to collect measurements in such an environment in a efficient way. So some of the features we are adding to support orchestration of experiments in that environment is like virtual trip lines, where you can on Google Earth you can basically draw lines, and then when for instance cars cross that line, the experiment will potentially change. So OMF is wireless test beds have this tendency that they have to be in the same space, connecting wireless access nodes, which sort of sit in different parts of the world together, is not always the most interesting thing. So we have a lot of different test beds, about 15 around the world now, using all kinds of different technologies and deployed in different contexts, from the 400 nodes at WinLab, which is sitting on the hanging off the ceiling, to some we have a test bed in Sydney, which we put nodes on traffic lights, so to communicate between traffic intersections and actually running traffic control over those test beds. Traffic in this case means car traffic. So one of the big things for us is federation, because we're working in a very international context, and there's most likely nobody, we can't really have sort of central authorities there. So the primary thing here is that we're working on, similar to the Orca folks, on a common resource description model, which is most likely a bit richer than the sort of the classical aspect. And then also we have to have some way of having all those entities talk together. So we have been settling, like many others, on a PubSub-based messaging framework between all those components. On the substrate level, the big thing for us is WiMAX. So here's a couple of pictures of the, and on the right hand side is the deployment at the antenna on the top of the WinLab building. Here is sort of some tests we did driving around the Rutgers campus, and I think people asked me yesterday on the throughput of WiMAX and what our experience is, and so it's actually quite good. The integration of something like a WiMAX base station into an experimental testbed is really a large challenge, because we're using a commercial developed product here, and that has never been designed nor envisioned to work in the environment we want to use it in. The vendors are always very clear that when we talk about WiMAX, we're primarily interested in the radio, so the 802.16 part of it, and for them WiMAX is much more than just the base station. So they're actually building systems, while we just want to reuse the components. So fortunately, we're working with NEC, and they are very supportive of this effort and have really done a tremendous job on allowing us to actually sort of use interfaces which are not really supposed to be used by anybody but them. So this is a large effort, and I think quite an interesting one, because I think a lot of the interesting resources out there are sort of falling into this camp. So just a few slides on what we discussed in the meetings. So we just gave people who came an update on the WiMAX project. I think I said pretty much everything here. So the current work centers on demonstrating virtual networks with resource management, because you know we actually want to do some experimenters want to do things on, for instance, experiments with scheduling, but we cannot really go deep into the box because certain things are just basically not accessible to us. So it actually turns into a really nice research project to do this kind of virtualization on top of effectively already an existing virtualization. On the OMF side, I said pretty much everything here. We did demonstrate it on Monday, horizontal integration of OMF clusters via L2 connectivity. We have a Lambda from Australia all the way to LA, but we were really on our way to get that all the way to Rutgers, and then we had a manhole fire in Philadelphia, which burned off up the fiber. So we had to. The same thing. Also, the car we used for the demonstration wanted to use for the demo also broke down on Sunday, so we had to use Plan B on multiple fronts. The one thing I wanted to say is that if anybody in here is actually interested in building their own testbed, especially sort of like small testbeds in the Wi-Fi space, we've been working in a different context on a wireless testbed kit. We've really been concentrating on sort of low-cost testbed kits because we believe that we actually need to support an entire ecosystem of different testbeds and different contexts of different size and scales. So if anybody's interested, please let me know. Okay, a couple of open issues. The role of OMF in Genie. Our mission is not really to be the sort of global control framework. We are really concentrating on the aggregate level because sort of we believe that's where we want to be, on the wireless subnets as our primary target. The OMF experiment workflow and measurement features are actually they are tightly integrated in OMF, but not so tightly that they cannot operate by themselves and actually used. Our measurement frameworks is used in some service deployments as just a measurement backbone. And the workflow part, we've been demonstrating that on numerous occasions, running on PlanetLab and other environments. So we're planning ahead for the campus WiMAX. Hopefully we get the funding, so there will be quite a lot of WiMAX sites, and that will create a lot of interesting work for us to do. And also cognitive radio networks. It's sort of trying to introduce that as a resource. And we're really sort of trying to figure out on how to integrate with one or more of the global control frameworks. The resource discovery and specification for heterogeneous wireless networks is an important requirement for us and quite a nice challenge. We have been talking with the Orca folks for quite a while because they're sort of sharing our philosophy in that regard. But we also have to always, you know, trade off the complexity and cost of multiple integration efforts. So we really think that, while I know this is not the party line here, but we really believe that I think there's sufficiently enough pieces in this whole control structure, which I think most of us don't really care too much how it's done as long as it's done. So we can move forward, and because most of us, I think, we really sort of want to wear our researcher hat a bit more and actually do interesting science on top of all that. And enough said. Thank you very much.
So just a couple words of closings. This was a nice broad summary of what's going on in the different clusters, and I would like to encourage the clusters and their constituent projects that as you make progress to send a note about it to the developers list. that you know the GPO has been trying to send notes out as we see milestones are met. But I think it's helpful for the community to hear about things as progress is made, and this is a good way to let your colleagues know. So for those of you who aren't on the list, the coordinates are on the wiki on the front page.